Let me start by just saying that the differences between the bill just presented and mine are relatively minor and easily reconcilable. One of them is very minimal. It simply, my legislation eliminates some statutes that no longer have any application that he didn't bother to take out. The approach to work groups in order to develop curriculum is slightly different. My legislation includes a couple of public hearings that are not a part of his legislation. His specifically identifies the standards to which we will return. My legislation is more prescriptive in terms of the process for developing new standards or developing Missouri standards, state standards. Those, by and large, are the differences, and we may have, if we haven't provided you an identifying document for each of those, we can do that. I want to first of all kind of summarize what I hope you heard in his open remarks. Number one, I hope you heard that this probably is as clearly as anything that I've been exposed to since I've been in either the Missouri House or the Missouri Senate, differentiates between a government of laws and a government of men. That's one of the most profound elements of the exceptionalism of this country, and one to which I think each of us subscribes. And yet the process whereby Common Core was implemented in this state is completely void of governing by laws and is purely government by men. It's decisions made unilaterally without involvement of the legislature or any other elected officials, and is a complete violation of that fundamental principle. I hope you heard in context of his remarks that it eliminates competition. It means we're all going to be exactly alike. We're all going to be using the same thing. There is no competition. It completely misses the value of federalism and of individualism, which again is a very fundamental part of the exceptionalism of this country. It removes parents even further than they are removed today. Today, when you talk to virtually any education professional, if it's not the top of their list, it's the second on their list. If you say, what would improve education, they will say greater parental involvement. And I agree with that. The one thing that has hurt education probably more than anything else in our country is the breakdown of the family and as the resultant lack of parental involvement in education. This further removes parents from the process. One other thing that I believe that we should note is a principle called single point of failure. What that means is you don't ever want to design a process, a company, an aircraft, or anything whereby the failure of a single item can bring the entire institution down. Bill Gates, who has been actively involved in this, said himself that it's going to be 10 years before we know whether this is a good idea or not. And we have designed in Common Core a single point of failure for our education system, as opposed to the Federalist approach, which says we as a state can devise the standards and the curriculum that we want. And if we excel, others will come to us and want to know how we did it. And if others excel, we'll go to them and find out how they did it. But with Common Core, we have a single point of failure. I think the history of the development of this, and some of this may be discussed by witnesses, so I'm going to be very brief. But I think it's interesting to recognize that that this began as early as 2006, or at least that Common Core comes out of some work that was done in 2006 that was relating to national standards, to dream the impossible dream. You may have a timeline in your packet of information that follows that through. In June of 2009, a document was produced where it described how the different variations of bringing a national curriculum to bear. It gave three options. One's called the whole enchilada, and it basically says this is probably not likely to happen because the politics are just too hard. One is that if you build it, they will come. And then the one that is interesting says, let's all hold hands. Said, with this approach, states are encouraged to join one another in developing common standards, possibly with the federal government providing incentives, but no more. Contributors also judge this approach maybe politically feasible. If you go back to the document from which that originated, the Dream the Impossible Dream, you'll find the approach to Common Core basically line by line delineated there. You get the Governor's Association involved. You do this, you do this, you do this. And you'll find that that prescription was in 2006. What has happened is they finally moved into that let's all hold hands approach to implementing Common Core. I believe that as you hear the testimony this morning, both for and against, you're going to be able to see those principles that violate the exceptionalism of America and that put at risk the futures of our children and the powers that federalism and competition bring to bear on producing the highest quality citizens for our state.